10 Howard, reel 5.
Shall we talk about a little bit about the problems of the way I work, which is, I always remember when dear old Edward Arthur, he said to me, he said, you obviously do them on the spot, he said. So I said, yes, he said, well, I used to go and have a look, he said, and then go away and do them somewhere else.
Yes.
This business of doing them on the spot has certain sort of problems in terms of not wanting to make people sort of pose and become unnatural. And therefore, one has to draw reasonably rapidly and, in a sense, sort of have a way of going about the drawing. You know, when one's drawing figures actually on the spot, you've got to have an approach in order to sort of get it working as a drawing. You know, so what I do is basically, you know, once I've got seen a figure where I want it, if you're drawing in a room, naturally people are conscious of the fact that you're there anyway. But I think if you sort of set them at ease, they do very quickly become natural. And then I would say to him, can you just hold that for a couple of minutes, you know, and sort of get the thing really fixed in. But the difficult thing is then getting the next figure working with it. You know,
yes.
That's the hard thing, making the drawing work as a whole.
Yes.
And not becoming sort of several bits, as it were. You know, certain sort of drawing that might be quite all right. In terms of my drawing, it wouldn't be.
No. So in these interiors, in the Maidstone or something,
yeah.
One of those poses may be the sort of key
yeah,
pose
yes.
for the others.
Yes.
And that
everything
was an absolutely natural pose.
Yeah.
And then everything else is connected with
yes.
that pose.
Related back to him all the time. Yes. You know, that figure in the front, actually, it was.
Yes.
The moustached figure. And
ah,
then
yes,
everything I related back to him.
Yes, that's very interesting. So that's a slight degree of artistic license then with figures that you have to have.
Ah, yes, yes.
You say that fortunately you don't move trees around
no,
in order to fit
no,
them into your
no,
pictures, but
no.
Or dig them up or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I believe ants are supposed to have... Ant's father is supposed to have cut down a tree because he painted a picture without the tree.
Yes.
Then thought he would rather have the garden like his picture.
Yes.
But the poses in drawings of people will have this character. Is that in many cases?
Yes, I always find the pose. I never say to somebody, will you sit over there? But in a fairly complex drawing, where there's a lot of figures, naturally they're moving around all the time. And then I see a figure in a particular situation relative to the other figure in the drawing. I think, yes, that's what I need. So, in fact, I don't set it up, but when I see it, I know that that's what I need in that particular part in the drawing. And then I'll say to the fellow, can you hold that for a quarter of an hour?
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that's very interesting.
Really.
So it's a slightly different procedure from the things outside, where you will have chosen a particular view. And
yes, yes. The particular view still comes in. In that Maidstone one, for instance, I walked right round that mess deck, and then finally it all clicked when I got into that corner, and the fellows were sitting there watching the television, and it all clicked compositionally for me, you know, the television and the movement of the figures right the way round it. So from that point of view, yes, the position was important. Once I got it, then I won't say that all the figures in the drawing were the ones that were actually there when I first of all got the idea. But
no,
the basic
quite.
Pattern is still the same.
Yes.
Even though the figures then become... And for instance, things can change. Like there's a figure on the far right-hand side, leaning on the back, looking over. Now, he wasn't even there when I got my first idea, but I saw him and thought, wow, that's marvellous, and realised he tied in with everything else, you know.
Are you very conscious of... artistic precedents, other artists' work. Do you think you have been much affected by different painters?
Yeah.
I remember Edward Arzani looking at one drawing I took him and said, he knows his Sickert then.
Yes, I suppose I suppose I certainly am not a believer in... My basic belief about development, for me personally, is that it must be a gradual building process. And in that sense, I am very conscious of what's gone before and what's gone immediately before, when you say Sickert. I suppose, really, for me, basically, I'm more conscious of what has gone before than being very conscious of what is actually happening now, because how can I put it, really? Yes, in that sense, you know, I don't get directly influenced by...
You've already taken up your position.
Yeah, I've taken up my position.
Either
it fits or it doesn't, sort of thing. But yes, I am very conscious, but... I never sort of consciously try and work in a particular style. I just sort of soak up the men whose work I like. I think one automatically reacts to people who react to similar images to the ones that you react to. So my sort of people, if you like, are... I'm very interested in Sickert, Morandi, the Italian, and then further back, Degas, Boudin, Corot, because I feel an affinity with the images that they make, as much as an affinity with the way that they paint.
Yes.
I'm more conscious of wanting to feel that sort of affinity, and I do feel a great affinity with the sort of images that Sickert reacted to. I feel an affinity with Whistler as well, the sort of images that he reacted to. And I suppose Manet. But all these men, in a sense, I don't consciously think of that, but Manet influenced Whistler, and Whistler influenced Sickert, and Sickert influenced... You know, that sense,
yes,
of the thing sort of building up. I don't think one consciously gets down and works it out that way, but you find that that's what's happened.
Yes, quite. Well, really? Your drawings and paintings show that you're extremely sensitive to atmospheres of times of day.
Yes.
Your description of,
yes,
work you were doing in Spain,
yes,
again, ties,
yes,
in with that.
Yes.
Was Ireland a good place to work in? Was the light interesting? Were the...
It was good for me, because I basically, although I like working contre jour in strong light, my images are much more sort of tonal than colour. I react to tonal images. That outside the window at the moment, I think, is absolutely superb. Now, I would term that as colour, but I suppose really it is more tonal.
Yes.
And Ireland, the months that I was, the weeks that I was out there, tended to be rather heavy weeks in weather terms. They were grey weeks. And therefore, for me, it was very good, because I react on that sort of day. I react to most things. On a day like today, I know that I mainly tick when I'm looking against the light rather than strongly with the light. You know, I react, I think, to atmospheric colour more than the local colour.
Yes.
Really. But Ireland, yes, suited me very well. Very well. I think it's going to be a bit grey next week, actually.
Yes, it wouldn't be quite so happy if it were very brilliant weather then, from your point of view.
No, I would probably find, though, that then I would work indoors more anyway.
Yes. You know,
out there, there's no problem of... In fact, it was incredible, really, the amount of work that one could get through. I mean, in a month, I can't remember now how many drawings I did, but I must have done about sort of 28 sheets of drawing, didn't I?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Plus the four paintings, which I'm reasonably prolific. I can work long hours, but even I was quite surprised. Because, in fact, you see, ideally, I mean, it was an ideal situation from work, because there were no problems of sort of feeding oneself or, you know, the sort of natural things that come up when you're at home and the commitments that you have. There was no chance of going on the town.
No, quite. No,
I mean, I didn't go out. I think, yes, I went to the... I was taken to the big hotel in Belfast one night by the press officer of one regiment. And that was the one night that I went out in a month. You know, there were no distractions whatsoever, which was ideal from the point of view of work. one was ready for a distraction when you got home.
Yes, very good. The number of paintings and drawings you did inside was quite considerable. Of course, a number of those were tonal drawings, weren't they? I think the outside scenes were more often watercolours.
Watercolours, yes, yes. I think the only internal one that I did in watercolour was the Grand Central, so with the four fellows sitting around in the room.
The operations room at Hastings Street, that's an interesting drawing. Yes. I suppose that's a very local drawing in it being an exact time and exact place one could.
Yes, yes. That was in fact the first complete drawing that I made when I was out there. And in a way, to me, I can see it is. Because in some ways it is less fluent than the other drawings. I feel that with drawing, the sort of continuous process is important to me. When I draw for 3 or 4 days, my hand and my eye, and I hope my heart, all get going together, and the thing comes. Whereas when I start a drawing, I'm less sort of... I'm feeling more. But in a way, that, in a sense, can also have an advantage, because you cross a line. There's a point in a series of drawings, I think, where you're dead right, where you're feeling enough to keep an intensity into the image that you're making. You haven't sort of slipped into a sort of an affectation or a slickness. And you're still fresh and looking very intensely. And I think that one of the ops room is interesting because it is obviously an earlier drawing in the series, and yet in some ways it's a very intense drawing, being the first one. I very often think with work, when I go away to work on a series of paintings or drawings, I very often find that when I come back and look at them, they follow a pattern. The first one is always one of the best, and then there is a sort of a decline, and then a build-up where one has become familiar with it, with the subject, and that familiarity then begins to bring a much greater intensity into it. But the first one always has an excitement because it is the first one.
Yes.
You know, the first reaction to a new situation. And I very often find that pattern follows. I remember a few years ago I got onto beaches as a subject. Again, quite sort of... I very often find that one finds subjects... unconsciously there, you're suddenly struck by them and think, wow, I want to paint this. And the first beach I ever did had a particular thing, and then there are several which I don't know whether it's one is still trying to capture what one got in that first one, which is a dead loss anyway, or whether it's the fact that you can never repeat that first excitement, and yet you don't know the subject well enough to start bringing the other and very important things in through that one gets through familiarity with a subject and knowing a subject. The deeper things, I suppose, for want of a better word. But it is interesting, and I think it happened in Belfast. You know, that ops room was the first one, and it's got things that some of the others then didn't have. And yet there are some of the later drawings. Now, which were the very late ones? I don't know whether there is a list there. Yes, Happy Birthday, for instance, is one of my favourite drawings. And that drawing I, in fact, did on the week when I went back to work on my own bat.
Yes.
And I thought, no, I want to do one more for the museum. And I did Happy Birthday, and that was one of my favourite drawings. The Percy Street Army Post was fairly late, the one with the church.
Oh, yes. That's an exceptionally...
And I
like
that,
drawing.
Yes. Yes. There were only, funnily enough, the artist, I think, very often is not a very good judge of what they do. And when you first of all made your selection, there were a couple of drawings that I thought I wished you had selected, and a couple that I thought, well, strange that you did. Now, the two that you didn't select in time, and it wasn't because you didn't select them, but in time I realised... You know, I had them around a little bit longer, and I thought, yeah, I can see why now. You know, it was rather funny. With my last exhibition, there was a particular painting that David, the director of the gallery, turned down when he was making the selection. And when he finished, he said, any that you particularly want in? And I said, yeah, I did want that one in. And when I saw it in the exhibition, I thought, oh, why? Why did I do it? You know, I think very often it is very difficult when you're involved in something to see it clearly as to whether it works or not.
Yes.
You know, until time has elapsed. And then, and when time has elapsed, you see it and you can see its faults or its good points or whatever, really.
Do you think this sequence of drawings in Northern Ireland will have had some effect on your development as a painter and drafter?
Oh, yes, yes, very definitely. But then I think every, you know, all one's work indirectly should be adding on to something else. But I think particularly the Northern Ireland things have. Because, A, it was such a new experience, and therefore, as it were, it sort of jerked me out of maybe a series of work that I'd been going on for some time and has sort of brought in a new element. I think also it has stressed this sort of figurative interest that I know now is returning and I want to sort of develop in my own work as much as landscape. Yes, definitely.
And so it's probably that this figurative aspect of your work that is, if you were to pinpoint anything, would be
yes.
the thing which
yes.
which Belfast
yes.
And
yes.
working in Northern Ireland
yes.
has helped
yes.
To
yes.
stress.
Yes, I think.